Greetings and welcome back to another on an ongoing series of Shurim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masechet Sotah, in the final podcast of the seventh chapter, which again, as I've mentioned several times, is really part of a larger piece, 7, 8, and 9, taking us to the end of Masechet Sotah, which are all based on Mishnah Bet in our Perek, of those recitations that must be made by Lashon HaKodesh, and then all of the details devolving from them. In the last three podcasts, we studied about the details of Birchat Kohanim, and now we go to the end of the Perek, to Mishnah Zayin, and pretty soon afterwards, Mishnah Chet, which deal with Birchot Kohen Gadol and Birchot Parshat HaMelech, which are parallel ceremonies to some extent. You have someone in an independent and ultimate leadership role, that is Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, and the Melech on the Hakel ceremony, which we'll deal with when we get there. Having a public reading of the Torah and having a formal ceremony of having the Sefer Torah handed up and up and up, position by position until it gets to him, the public reading, and then the brachot afterwards. So Mishnah Zayin, brachot Kohen Gadol, Ketzad, how does that play out? Chazana Knesset, I'll tell Sefer Torah, no la l'rosha Knesset. So the Chazana Knesset, who's in charge in the Knesset, in the Beit HaMikdash, who's in charge of kind of controlling the reading, as it were, takes the Sefer Torah and gives it to the Rosh HaKnesset, the chief rabbi, if you will. Rosh HaKnesset Nalaskan, he then gives it to the vice Kohen Gadol, the understudy of the Kohen Gadol. Naskan Nal Kohen Gadol, he gives it to the Kohen Gadol, which raises a question about showing deference and honor to underlings in the presence of their superiors. We'll deal with that. V'Kohen Gadol Omeid Umekabel V'Koreh. It sounds as if the Kohen Gadol is seated. He then stands up, accepts the Sefer Torah, and reads it as is. What does he read? He reads Acharei Mot, which is the section that we read as the public Kriyat HaTorah on Yom Kippur, which is the 16th chapter of Vayikra, detailing the Avodah of Yom HaKippurim. V'ach Be'asor, which is a few chapters later in Parshat Emor, which is in the fullest treatment of the calendar, which we refer to as Parshat HaMoadot, the section about Yom Kippur. The Golel et HaTorah. So in other words, he rolls the Torah to get to V'ach Be'asor, and then he rolls it up, U'menicha b'chiko, and holds on to it, V'omer, and gets his body, V'omer, Yater ma shekariti lefnechem katuv kan. More than what I have read is written here, meaning I haven't read everything, I've read selections. And then, U'v'asor, shebechomesh ha'pkudim, korei al peh. Chomesh ha'pkudim is the Tanaitic name for the book of Bamidbar, or Numbers, Pkudim. And the passage in what is commonly referred to as Parshat Tmidim u'Musafim, that list in chapters 28 and 29 of Bamidbar that goes through the calendar of the Korbanot of the Mikdash, the section about Yom Kippur, he reads by heart, which is the only time that we have a reading of the Torah done not out of the text. We'll see why. Umvarech aleha shmona brachot. And afterwards he recites eight brachot. Al HaTorah, bracha, which we is Noten HaTorah, Al HaAvodah, Ve'al HaHodayah. Al HaAvodah, we would assume, is something to the effect of She'otcha b'yirah v'badcha na'avod. Al HaHodayah is something akin to Atov Shimcha Olacha Ne'eladot. V'chilat HaVon would be something akin to Ma'avir HaShmotenu b'chol shana v'shadam, Mechadesh Yisrael v'yom HaKippurim. Ve'al HaMikdash, V'al Yisrael, V'al HaKohanim, V'al Yerushalayim. We do not have those texts extant. V'Hashar Tfilah. Hashar Tfilah is unclear because we just counted eight. We said there's eight brachot, and what's this Hashar Tfilah? We'll deal with that in a moment. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Now the Gemara immediately commenting and says the first point that I mentioned is about showing deference to the Rosh HaKnesset and to the Skan in the presence of the Kohen Gadol, Shcholkin Kavod HaTamid Makom HaRav. So it sounds as if we show deference to a student in the presence of his master, which is problematic. Amar Abaye Kula Mishum Kvod HaKohen Gadol Hu. The entire thing is a piece of the Kavod of the Kohen Gadol because he's at the end of the line. So even handing it to an underling, the deference shown is really being shown to the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol Omed Mekabel V'Korei Omed Michlal D'Yoshevu. So it sounds as if the Kohen Gadol was seated and then stood up to get the Sefer Torah. V'yamar mar, ein yeshiva ba'azara el malche beit David bilvad. This is something we dealt with in Masechet Yoma. The only people who are allowed to be seated anywhere in the Azara are the malche beit David, kings from the Davidic line. Shinemar, in the famous piece where David wanted to build the Beit HaMikdash, and Hashem then told him not, and then David came into, to Natan told him not, David came into the tent that he had set up for the Aron, which he had brought to Yerushalayim, and had a tefillah, ve'evom alav David v'yeshev lifnei Adonai, ve'evom mi anochi umi ve'iti, etc., etc. David came in and sat down. And he, somehow we read this as being something only David and his line may do. So the answer is, Kedamar Rav Chista, and Rav Chista's answer is given in the next sugya, so we're going to quote it from there, Be'ezrat Nashim. Where did the Kohen Gadol read? In the Ezrat Nashim, which is not formally part of the Azara, and therefore he could be seated there. Hachanami Be'ezrat Nashim. So Meitevei V'chan Korin Bo, the sugya in Yoma talks about where the Kohen Gadol would stand when he would read, because the Mishnah famously says, you can't see the burning of the par and the reading of the Kohen Gadol, because they happen at the same time in different places. So they say, Ba'azara. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer Bahar Habayit. Shenamar, Vayikra Bo Lifnei HaRachov Asher Lifnei Shaar HaMayim. This is something we dealt with in the previous podcast, the Sugya in Sefer Ezra and Sefer Nehemiah about the public reading of the Torah. Here it mentions that it is in front of Shaar HaMayim, which is outside of the Azara on Har HaBayit. So we see this in Machloket. But even the one who said Azara, Rav Chista Be'ezrat Nashim. It really wasn't in the Azara, it was in the Ezrat Nashim. That's how we understand where the Kohen Gadol read. That's why he can be seated and then stand up to accept the Sefer Torah. Now, v'koreach remot ve'asor, u'minhu, this is a sugyan Megillah. Medalgin menavi ve'en medalgin ma'torah. You're allowed to skip. When reading publicly from the Navi, you're allowed to skip a pasuk or a chapter to get from one idea to the next. But you're not allowed to do that in the Torah. And here he's reading, and without a break, he immediately jumps six chapters in our breakdown, but several significant parshiot until he gets to the parsha of Ach B'Asor in what we call Seder Emor. Abaye says, that is not a problem. When do we say you can't skip in the Torah? That's if it is such a long skip, meaning of rolling the Sefer Torah and finding the place, that in the meantime, the Churgaman, who is now translating the last pasuk you read, has finished and everybody's waiting. That you're not allowed to do. So the implication is that, because in the Braita we just quoted, it said you're allowed to skip in Navi. So that means you're allowed to skip in Navi long enough to make people wait. There has to be a distinction. So we say, V'ha'alak tani medalgim Navi ve'in medalgim ba'Torah. We just said that you're allowed to skip in Navi. And we said, V'ad kama medalgin, the further exposition of that is, Akadei shalev soka turgaman. You're only allowed to skip in Nevi'im long enough that not so long that the turgaman would have finished and people are waiting. Which means, Michal de b'Torah klal klal lo, which means in the Torah you're not allowed to skip at all. Because again, both Breita that we saw established that skipping in Nevi'im is less serious, less of a problem than skipping in the Torah. And in Nevi'im we're still bound by that time factor. Al amar baya lo kasha kan b'inyan achad kan b'shnei inyanim. Abaye says very simply, in the Torah, we're not allowed to skip themes. Go from one theme to another. If the themes are contiguous in the text, then there's two different themes, fine. But to skip from one text to another and skip themes, that you're not allowed to do in the Torah. You are allowed to do in the Nevi'im. Which means that in any case, it has to be in a way that doesn't make people wait. But in the Nevi'im, you can skip from one issue to another. Hatanya, we have a bright that supports this distinction. Medalgim haTorah b'inyan echad. You're allowed to skip in the Torah within one issue. The only time we do that in our practice is when we read the Kriyat HaTorah of a fast day. When we skip from the first passage that we read, which is Moshe's plea of Hashem to forgive Bnei Israel, to, according to tradition, 80 days later perhaps, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, come on up to the mountain, or 40 days later, come up to the mountain, and I will give you the tablets, etc. So you're allowed to skip in the Torah within one theme. You're allowed to skip from theme to theme in the Nevi'im, and in both cases, as long as people don't have to wait. By the way, you cannot skip from one prophet to another. So let's say that you have, for some reason, Nevi'im Rishonim altogether, Yoshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, Malachim. You can't skip from Shoftim to Shmuel, for instance. Right? But within the 12 minor, as they're called, because of their size only, minor prophets of Shteya, Treyasar, you may skip. and I'll, in a minute I'll share with you when that's commonly done. As long as you don't go backwards, it means you have to skip, but in sequence, meaning from an earlier book to a later book in the text. The two examples that come to mind immediately are the minhag of many shuls in Shabbat Shuva, to start with Shuva Yisrael, which is the end of the book of Hosea at the beginning of Trei Asar, and then Tiku Shofar Betzion, which is Sefer Yoel, which is the next Sefer, and to end with Mi'el Kamocha, which is the last three psukim of Micha, which is later on in Trei Asar. Another example that comes to mind is when we read Sefer Yonah on Yom Kippur in the afternoon. Many congregations have the custom of adding on the last three psukim again of Sefer Micha, Mi'el Kamocha, which again are later on in the book. Okay, but Golel Tatorah Menicha Becheko. So the Mishnah said that then the Kohen Gadol wraps up the Torah and holds on to it. What's that? Why does he have to hold on to it? I can't just wrap it and put it down. The answer is we don't want anyone to get the wrong impression that he found something invalid in the Sefer Torah, but he's holding it dearly. And now we'll see why he reads by heart. We are Sorshim Chomash Abkudim Korei Alpeh. V'likri L'Sefer. V'likri, why doesn't he roll the Sefer and read from Bamidbar? So roll, take a couple minutes to roll to Bamidbar. Because you're not allowed to roll Sefer Torah but Sibur. That's why the common practice is that whenever there are readings from more than one place, we take out as many Sefer Torah as are needed, usually two, and on four possible occasions, three. V'leite Sefer Torah Achrina V'likri. So why don't we take out what we do? Take out two Sefer Torah, one for Vayikra, one for Bamidbar, and he won't have to read by heart, because that violates the norm of Dvarim Shebichtav Yatar Yishrei L'Ram Bal Peh. Funa Bar Yehuda Amar Mishum P'kamo Shel Rishon. He says, because then it's going to make it look like the first Sefer Torah is invalid. He reads the first Sefer Torah, then puts it down, takes the second one, looks like it's invalid. So I'm sure that immediately you are bothered by the fact that that's what we do all the time when there's two Sefer Torah, so we'll see the distinction. He raises another objection. He says that if the Kohen Gadol were to open up a second Sefer, he'd have to make another bracha, but it's a bracha shein tzricha, because it's all part of one reading. Alright, but we seem to focus on the first issue, which is Umicha Shin Lifgama, since when are we so concerned that people may think that the Sefer Torah is Pasul because he switched Sfarim to go to something else? This is one of those four occasions when we could have three Sefer Torah. If Rosh Chodesh Tevet is on Shabbat, so you have the regular reading, you have Rosh Chodesh and you have Chanukah. Mevi Shalosh Torot. That's exactly what we do. So you see that we are not concerned that people are going to say, oh, we found something wrong with the first Sefer Torah, that's why he abandoned it for the second one. We understand you're reading for something else, and you're not going to make us wait while you roll it. You don't want to read by heart. Therefore, you've brought out a separate Sefer. So what's the answer? Tlata gar v'tlata sifri leikap gama. If there's three different people reading, so you have one person who read the end of Parshat Miketz, let's say, and the next person reads the Parshat Rosh Chodesh, and the next person reads from the third Sefer Torah, the Parshat Chanukah, there's no pgam. However, Chad Gavra betrays Sefer Ikap Gam, but if it's one person reading, here it's the Kohen Gadol doing all the reading, and he switches Sfarim, the people will may get the impression that there's really something wrong. Alright, Umvarecha Le'ashmona Brachot. By the way, Chazal, we're very concerned about giving a wrong impression and giving a bad reputation, as it were, to a Sefer Torah, letting people think that it was invalid. Umvarecha Le'ashmona Brachot. Alright, so the Mishnah said that he makes eight Brachot, Tanar Banan. The writer somewhat repeats it, that the bracha la Torah is the bracha the same way we make in Shul, Asher Bacharbanu. Alright, perhaps Asher Natanlanu, but it's the same bracha that we make when we learn in Shul. V'al havodah v'al hodah v'al mechilat avon ketiknan, which gives the impression that it's exactly the same way that we say those brachot in our tefillah, as I mentioned in the Mishnah. Al mikdash b'fnei atzmo, that's bracha number 5, al kohanim b'fnei atzmam, 6, al Yisrael b'fnei atzman, 7, al Yerushalayim b'fnei atzma, 8. So there you have your 8 brachot. Then, the next piece is, v'hashar tefillah. Tanu Rabbanan, hashar tefillah, tchina rina uvakasha, shamcha Yisrael tzuchin livashea. Meaning, he himself says, we need your help, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's not really part of the system of 8. And he ends, Baruch Ata Hashem, Shomei HaTfilah. Now, Mikan Va'elach, Kol Achad V'Echad Mevi Sefer Torah, Mitoch Beito V'Korei Bo. Afterwards, everybody brings a Sefer Torah from their own house. And it's after the Kohen Gadol finishes reading it, making all the brachot, people go to their house, into the Azara, Now, this, of course, is based on the opinions Rashi points out, which is a machloket, about whether Yesh Eruv V'Hotzal Yom HaKippurim, whether Yom HaKippurim were bound, as we are on Shabbat, by not caring in the public domain, or whether, like a regular Yom Tov, whether we're not bound, like a regular Yom Tov, or whether we are bound, like Shabbat. The opinion of this Tana is that we're not bound, and then people can go carry things on Yom Kippur and bring them in. Right? V'kol kach lama, why? Kadei laharot chazuto l'rabim. That they want to show how beautiful the Sefer Torah is. So they hold up all these other Sefer Torah. It's a Torah fest. And the Sefer Torah, the Kohen Gadol, stands above all of them as the most beautiful. Okay, that's the end of the Sugya of Berchot Kohen Gadol. And now to the final Mishnah, which is Parshat HaMelech. Again, that's Hakel. Ketzad, how does that play out? This Mishnah Chet. Motzei Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag. The Motzei Yom Tov, meaning if Yom Tov was on a Monday, so Monday night, of the first day of Chag, of Sukkot, Bashmini, in the eighth. Now, the eighth here means the eighth month, as we'll see. In the eighth year of Shemitah, not the eighth month, as we will see. Motzei Shvit, meaning it's the year after Shemitah. So there's a lot of markers here to make sure we understand the right date. Osino bimashal eitz ba'azara. They make a big wooden podium in the azara. Who yoshev aleha? The king sits there. Take a look at the pasuk. It describes exactly when this happens, and the Gemara is going to go through all of those markers and explain why they're all needed. Chazan HaKnesset, and this should sound very familiar. Chazan HaKnesset notal Sefer Torah but not now the Rosh HaKnesset. Rosh HaKnesset not now the Sgan. Sgan not now the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol not now the Melech. So we do the exact same things that we had before, except we add one more step. The Kohen Gadol now gives it to the king. VeHamelech Omeid. Again, he was seated. We have the same problem. Umekabel, he stands up at this point, accepts the Sefer Torah, the Kore Yoshev, sits down to read. However, Agrippas HaMelech, Agrippas II, who was in the middle of the first century, who was a king and was very sympathetic to the Chachamim, Agrippas HaMelech, Amad v'kibel v'kara umeid. He stood up and he remained standing. He refused to sit down for the reading. V'shibchuhu Chachamim. And the Chachamim praised him. Uchshihigia, part of the reading, as we will see, includes the Parshat HaMelech, which is in the middle of, near the beginning of Parshat Shoftim. When he got to the opening line, when it says, Lo tuchal atet alecha ish nochri, the Torah says you're not allowed to place a foreigner above you as a king. Zalgoin avdemaot, he started weeping because he felt that he was not a legitimate king from that perspective. Amrulo, alti tere agripas achinu ata, the Chachamim said to him, don't be afraid, you're our brother, you're our kinsman, you're okay. That will lead to a protracted discussion about issues of flattery. The Kore, what does he do? Kore mitchilat eila hadvarim, he reads from the beginning of the book of Dvarim, ad Shema Yisrael, meaning the first five and a half chapters, which include the travelogue and include Moshe's tefillah to get into the land and include a review of Mamad Har Sinai, including the Aseret HaDibrot, all the way to Shema, Ushma, and then you skip from Shema to V'Hayayim Shema, which is near the end of the Moshe's ethical will, if you will, V'Hayayim Shema, and then Aser Ta'aser, then he skips to Ne'um HaMitzvot, which is the section of Dvarim focused on Mitzvot, Aser Ta'aser, then skips from there to Kitchalel Aser, which is after Mikra Bikurim, Uparshat HaMelech, and he goes to Vayelech. There's a lot of skipping here. Urachot V'Klalot, and he reads in Vayelech, and then he goes back to Kitavo to read the Parshat HaMelech. Actually, seems to be the Parsha of appointing a king, and then moves ahead to Kitavo and reads the Brachot to Klalot, the famous Tocha, Ad Shegomer Kol HaParsha, until he finishes everything, that entire Parsha, and that's the end of his reading. So it's selections from Dvarim in sequence. Brachot Kohen Gadol v'Rechotan HaMelech v'Rechotan, and the king makes the same eight brachot that the Kohen Gadol made, except Shoten Shemegalim Tachan Mechilat Avon. Instead of saying Mechilat Avon, it's not Yom Kippur, it's Sukkot. It says a bracha relating to Sukkot as the fourth of the eighth brachot. Okay, now the Gemara immediately pounces on the language Bishmini Salkadaitach. Do you think that it's really the eighth month? Ema Bishminit, meaning the eighth year. Why does the pasuk have to say b'moed shnat hashmitah b'chag haSukkot tzrichi? Ichatav Rachmana miketz. If the Torah just said at the end of 7 years, hamenav nimnu mihashta. In other words, count when you start, not based on some objective calendar, but start now when we get the Torah and start counting. V'afagavzal mitrami b'shmitah. Even though it won't play out to shmitah 7 years from now, and every 7 years you do this ceremony. Rachmana shmitah. That's why the Torah had to say b'shnat hashmitah. If the Torah only said Shemitah, Mena, Besof Shemitah, I would think you do it at the end of the Shemitah year, not after the Shemitah year. Therefore, the Torah says b'moed, meaning on a yontif. If it said that, I would have thought that maybe you do it on Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, the Torah said moed chaga sukkot. If the Torah only wrote Sukkot, I could do it any day of Sukkot, including the last Yom Tov. That's why it said, when all of Israel comes, that's when you read. And evidently the understanding is mi'atchal to the moed, meaning from the beginning of when they start coming, which, if, practically speaking, is going to be on the first day of Chol HaMoed, when they come with all their korbanot. Alright, v'chazan ha-knesset notel sefer Torah, another Rosh ha-knesset, which sounds very familiar, shomayim mina cholkin kavod l'talmid mokom harav, rabbi ha-kula mishum kvodo d'melech. It seems from here that you honor a student in the presence of his master, because they bring the sefer Torah to the underlings on the way up. And the answer again is it's all kvod ha-melech. Melech ha-minun kabel v'karev yoshev, v'kiz ha-melech ha-mad, v'kibel v'karav omeid. Now, omeid michlal yoshev, same problem. How can we say the king was sitting there? And the concern here now is that in the Hasmonean era, and certainly in the case of Herod, and those who came after Herod, these kings are not associated with Beit David, so why are we allowing them to sit and making them part of the ceremony? We just had that with the Kohen Gadol. The answer is this entire thing took place in the Ezrat Nashim, and there's no prohibition against sitting in the Ezrat Nashim, even for someone who is not Mimalchei Beit David. Shibchu Chachomim. So it says the Chachomim praised Agrippa for standing. Shibchu Michlal Deshapir. It sounds like he did a good thing by standing. This is Sugyan Kiddushin, near the end of the first parak. We go through all the different people we have to honor, and the question is, can they forgo the honor? So father can forgo his honor. A Rebbe can forgo his honor. Even a Nasi maybe can forgo his honor, but even that lenient opinion will agree with something that we all agree about, which is Melech, Shemachal Kvodo, Ein Kvodo Machul. A king is not allowed to forgo his honor. If he says, you don't have to stand up, we don't listen to him, we do stand up. Why? Shneimar som tasim alecha melech. In the parsha of the melech, it says, you shall place a king over you, meaning shetehim ato alecha. You have to set him up in a way that his reverence is something that you understand and feel. You're not allowed to forego that. He's not allowed to forego that, and if he does, you still have to honor him. So why was it a good thing? Why didn't the Chacham say to Agrippa, sit down, you need to sit down, you're the king? The answer is mitzvah shani. If he's doing it to demonstrate his love and reverence for a mitzvah, that's not a problem. If he's doing it to be nice to somebody or to try to show himself to be humble or part of the crowd, that's a big mistake. Alright, Uchshigia lelotuchal latet. So, the Mishnah said that when Agrippa's gone to the, after the passage in Parshat HaMelech, it says you can't have a foreigner be your king, he started crying. Tanam Yishmei de Rabbi Natan. At that point, Am Yisrael really should have been destroyed. Why? Shechnifu lo Agrippa. They flattered him. Rashi ben Chalafta, miyom shegavar egrofa shel chanufa, from the minute that flattery became a strong thing, itavtu adinim, justice is perverted, v'nitkalkulu ha-masim, actions are perverted, v'adam yachol amar l'chavero masai gdolim imasecha. Nobody really has the ability to say, I'm greater than you, because of the fact that nobody's willing to stand up and say to somebody, you're doing the wrong thing, everybody's flattering everybody, everybody's making them feel good for what they're doing, even though they're doing wrong. The reality is everybody's violating the Torah, and therefore nobody could say, I'm beyond that. Darash Rabbi Yehuda bar Ma'arava, Ritamer of Shimon Pazi, Mutar lachnif l'shaim b'olam hazeh. You are allowed to flatter Rishayim in this world. Shenamar lo yikare od l'naval nadiv u'lechilai lo yomar shua. In the future, there will no longer be the case that they call a scoundrel a good guy and a miserly man somebody who is generous, right? Somebody who is always a drunkard, that they're going to refer to him as a sober person. In other words, the day will come when people will speak honestly. Michlal de b'olam hazeh shari. So obviously, in this world, we're not there yet. We're allowed to say such things. In what circumstances? So let's see. We learn from somewhere else. Kirot pnei Elohim atirtzeni. When Yaakov was meeting Esav, he said to Esav, "Ooh, I see your face like the face of God, and you've accepted me." Right, which means that Yaakov, out of his fear of Esav, and this is Olam Hazeh, he has to be afraid of how Esav's going to behave. He wants to make nice to him, and he lies to him, and he flatters him. Uplegit Rabbi Levi. But that approach and understanding of what Yaakov meant is at odds with Rabbi Levi. Damar Levi, Mashal Shal Yaakov Esav. I'll tell you what the Yaakov Esav meeting was like. A fellow invited a friend over and realized this friend wants to kill him. Amarlo, Tam Tavshil Zeshani Toem Katavshil Shetam Vetamelech. So the guest, who realizes the host wants to kill him, the guest says, when he eats the food, he says, ooh, this reminds me of what I had at the White House. This reminds me of what I had in Buckingham Palace. To give the impression that he's a regular visitor at the palace, Amar Yadale Malka, and so the host says to himself, ooh, the king knows him. Mistofiv lo katile, he'll avoid killing him. All right, so in other words, the same way Yaakov said to Esav, you remind me of when I saw God. Whoosh, Esav's going to be afraid. Yaakov has direct interactions with God. I better be afraid. Anybody who has flattery. Now again, the distinction here is, flattery is a tactic or flattery is a style. Meaning it's a tactic in a particular situation where somebody is angry or going to hurt you, wants to kill you, you find a way to get them off your back. That's one thing. It's another thing if that becomes your modus vivendi. So that brings anger to the world. Shinemar v'chanafei lev yasimu af. Such a person is tfilot are not heard. They will not be heard because I'm going to get rid of them. Okay, we continue with this theme. Somebody who is a flatterer, even embryos in the womb, curse him. Somebody who turns to Rasha and calls him a tzaddik, he will be cursed by nations, and nations will be angry at him. Now we're going to play on the word yikvuhu and kov el klala shemar lo kabo el. When Bilam says to Balak, ma'akov lo kabo el, I cannot curse if God did not curse. So yikvuhu, now we're understanding as curse. Vein la omela ubarin, nation leumim is a reference to midrashically to embryos. Shenemar ulaom milaom yamatz. When the mala, the navi, or whoever it is who speaks to Rivka and tells her God's message about her pregnancy, says you have two nations in your womb. Ulaom milaom yamatz. One nation will be stronger, will outdo the other, will overpower the other. So laom could be a reference in the womb. Somebody who's a flatterer will end up in hell. Shenemar. Hoy ha'omrim la'ra tov la'tov ra. Those who call good bad, call bad good, call tzaddik rasha, etc. What happens a couple of psukim later on? V'chein ha'chol kash l'shon esh v'chashash le'hava. Your pet, just like fire eats up straw, so they'll be eaten up. So these people are going to be burned in Gehinnom. So the understanding of the pasuk Amar la ratov la tov ra is not that people are trying to subvert reality or play Orwellian English, but rather people who are trying to be nice to not be nice, but to kiss up to people, as the pedestrian phrase goes, and to speak to people who really are not that good and tell them how great they are, and then speak to other people who really are good, but because they're lowly or they don't need their help, they'll call them bad. Somebody who flatters somebody ends up falling into his own hand, into that person's hands. If not, then into the hands of the son, the children of the one he flattered. If not his sons, his grandsons. What's the proof? When Hananiah, who's one of the leaders of the community, says what he does, one of the Nevi'im, Amen ken yase Adonai, akem Adonai tverecha. He speaks very nicely to him, even though this was an Avi Sheker. And Uchtiv, what does it say later? Vahi hu bashar, bishar bin yamin, bisham baal pkido, tushmo yiraya ben shlem ya ben Hananiah. So at this point, Yirmiyahu is at in Eretz Binyamin, and there's a clerk there, and he is a grandson of Hananiah. Right, posit Yirmiyahu navi lemor ala kastim atanofel, and he is the one who grabbed or imprisoned Yirmiyahu and said, you're going to go to the Chaldeans. Yirmiyahu sheker and ini nofel el hakastim, and Yirmiyahu said that's not true. Chtivet posit Yirmiyahu vayveu ala sreim. So he brought Yirmiyahu to the ministers. In other words, Yirmiyahu flattered this Navi Sheker, and in the end, like Navi Sheker's grandson, who was working for the Babylonians, ended up being the one to capture Yirmiyahu and bring him as sort of a prisoner to them. If you have a group that has chanufa, meusa kinida, that group is as rejected as a nidash. In Amarki, adat chanef galmud. A group of flatterers is galmud. What is galmud? Munchken b'chayayam koin l'nida galmuda. In the Greek islands, they refer to as a nida as a galmuda. Where's that? My galmuda. Where's that from? Gmula mi ba'ala. Galmuda is she's separated from her husband. Now he has another play on it. Any group that or nation or tribe that has that is flatterers is going to end up being exiled. Why? Yeshayahu in the sections of consolation says, and you're going to say, who birthed these ones to me, and I am in the meantime childless and galmuda in exile. So you see, galmud is associated with exile. So we end the piece with Amar Yirmiya Bar Abba, a relatively famous midrash. Arba kitot ein mekablinotan, ein mekablinot pnei hashchina. There are four groups that never get to see the shechina. Kat leitzim, people are scoffers. V'chat chanefim, flatterers. V'chat shakarim, dishonest people. V'chat mesaprei lashon hara, gossips or people who say bad things of others. Kat leitzim. How do we know? Dichtiv mashach yado et lotzitzim. He has removed his hand from the lotzitzim. Kat chanefim. Dichtiv ki lo lefanav chanef yavo. Right, that the chanef will not come in front of him. He who speaks evil will not be able to stand facing me. You are not a God who desires evil, and evil will not reside with you. And the implication is that you are a tzaddik, and therefore one who is evil will not reside with you, and the understanding of that is lashon hara. People who speak lashon hara are mentioned in that exact parsha, kein b'fihu nechona, etc. And therefore, that's the reference. That's the evil that's being referred to that cannot abide with God. Okay, we have Dvar Alachelun and Marim have completed the seventh parak, and as I mentioned, the eighth parak is going to pick up right where we left off with the next item in Mishnah Bet, which is Mashuach Milchama. It's actually not the next item; we're going a little bit out of order, but it is the item about the directions given by the Kohen at war. And our entire focus in this parak is going to be about the halachot of milchama, of war, with different categories of war, mechamet mitzvah, mechamet chovah, the distinction there, mechamet reshut, and of course the kohen and the officers' warnings and encouragement to the soldiers at the front. Everyone should have a wonderful day.